If women's sexual preferences are liberated and go unchecked, they destroy civilizations. If women are allowed to choose, harems form. If women are allowed a voice in matters that pertain to the safety of a nation, then that nation will die, inevitably. It's as simple as that. Once you realize this, you understand the entire basis behind civilized society. And if not, you'll understand by the end of this video. As this is a complicated subject, let me state briefly what I'm talking about in this video so you can follow along more closely. Women do not, on an instinctual level, care very much about her tribe, nation, or civilization. It's in their nature not to. Women are biological creatures like all others, and they seek to maximize their chances of having viable offspring. This half-century-long experiment of women's liberation and political enfranchisement has ended in disaster for the West. And the damage done to the West may be irreparable, and the only solution would be a return to a more patriarchal society, and this seems highly unlikely. I want you to hold on to this key thought, as the meaning will become clear as this video progresses. When I'm speaking of Western women, I'm talking of women as an organism, or in general. Of course, there's a spectrum and every individual is different. But for the purposes of this video, I'll be speaking of Western women and their general characteristics. I realize that this is a sensitive topic and women with children are different from younger women. But it's the broad strokes of Western women that need to be addressed. If you're a woman watching this and take offense to this video, please understand that I do realize that not all women are the same, but there are some very easily identifiable patterns of behavior that need to be discussed. Also, key to understand is that every dramatic change that Western women have brought to society has been allowed by Western men. Western women, or for that matter, any group of women, are not consciously seeking to undermine the foundations of any particular society through calculation or deception, or for any underlying agenda. It's just that women have never been the builders of any of the larger edifices of civilization and are not and have never been responsible for maintaining them. This is borne out across every civilization throughout history. So to be clear, I am not assigning any quote-unquote blame on any group or gender in this video. I'm only trying to explain how I see the world that we've all inherited. And let's get this out in the open. Women are not very good at being loyal to the tribe. They never have been, they never will be. The reason is it's not in their nature to do so. Women throughout history have shown time and time again, they're quick to seek the favors of men they feel are stronger and more dominant, whether they're part of their in-group or not. Recent examples of this, besides Japanese or Vietnamese war brides, come from Europe and are illustrated by the countless numbers of Belgian, French, Dutch, what have you, women that took up relations with occupying German military personnel. And this was only a short time ago, but when Nazis were defeated and social stability was restored, they were punished for their betrayal and transgressions against their people. Now, not only are women not punished for inviting alien and unassimilatable armies of men into the West, they then vote for parties that force the entire society to have its national wealth redistributed to this army of aggressive and hostile men. And women who are in positions of power even openly celebrate the destruction that they bring upon their people and openly taunt those that seek to retain their culture and civilization from obliteration. As in the following video of German politician Dr. Steffi von Berg in Hamburg.
Frau Präsidentin, meine Damen und Herren. Unsere Gesellschaft wird sich ändern. Unsere Stadt wird sich radikal verändern. Ich bin der Auffassung, dass wir in 20, 30 Jahren gar keine ethnischen Mehrheiten mehr haben in unserer Stadt. Das ist das, was wir haben werden in der Zukunft. Und ich sage Ihnen noch ganz deutlich, gerade hier in Richtung rechts, das ist gut so.
And as our societies become ever more dangerous because of people like Ms. von Berg, and even though women can take steps to protect themselves, the primary responsibility for protection will probably always belong to men. This is very important. Women will thus only have as much freedom as their men are willing or capable of guaranteeing them. So the question begs, Why do women do this? Why do women betray their in-group? And how is the current situation different from those that preceded it? Well, in a word, enfranchisement. Women have been given the vote, and in a democratic society, they vote their biological imperative. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, recent genetic research has shown that before the modern era, 80% of women managed to reproduce while only 40% of men did. The obvious conclusion from this is that a few top men had access to multiple women while the bottom 60% of men had no mating prospects at all. Women clearly didn't mind sharing the top man with a dozen other women, ultimately deciding that being one of many women sharing a man who leads was still more preferable than having the undivided attention of a man who serves. Commenting on this, Roy Baumeister, a prominent social psychologist who teaches at Florida State University, had this to say. It would be shocking if these vastly different reproductive odds for men and women failed to produce some personality differences. He went on, for women, the optimal thing to do is to go along with the crowd, be nice, play it safe. The odds are good that a man will come along and offer sex and you'll be able to have babies. All that matters is choosing the best offer. We're descended from women who played it safe. For men, the outlook was radically different. If you go along with the crowd and play it safe, the odds are you won't have children. Most men who ever lived did not have any descendants who are alive today. Their lines were dead ends. Hence, it was necessary to take chances, try new things, be creative, explore other possibilities. Many societies, including the West, long ago devised a simple plan to stop the inherent infighting that occurs because a large majority of men in the in-group don't have sexual access to women or the ability to reproduce legitimate children. The entire basis of Western society was the male agreement to keep only one woman in public so that every male has near equal chance at reproduction. It's for this reason that organized and advanced civilizations have always needed to agree on the equitable distribution of women so as to incentivize its men to produce and have a stake in the society's health and security. But this, like other cultural arrangements that held the West together for centuries, is breaking down and can be observed in something as basic as the fact there are no Western countries that are even at replacement levels in their birth rates. This again can be laid at the feet of loosening of sexual morality and the dating habits of young women. Colloquially called the 80-20 rule, what it basically means is that the vast majority, the 80%, are sexually pursuing the top 20% of men. This is highly damaging to the formation of monogamous couples and the successful formation of families and the children that will be the next generation of any given country. And we'll be talking about this more later in the video, but if you're interested, see Google for more information on this. Also, one thing to understand is that female psychology has always been about adaptation. In our tribal past, if women of conquered tribes didn't submit to their new masters, they faced death along with their husbands, brothers, sons, fathers. Even today, many women seek out aggressive men, whether consciously or not, as it seems that this psychology has been ground into women after countless years of our species' evolution. That means criminals, gangsters, and mass murderers are always going to be more attractive to women than hard-working, honest men. They always have been, they always will be. Think of how many women throw themselves at drug dealers versus, for example, math teachers. Sexual attraction is based on this reality for many women, regardless of whether they admit it or not. And the feminization of men in the West, adhering to the repetitive and decades-long diatribe that vilifies anything and all things masculine, are no longer, for many women, attractive potential mates. Especially for women in their critical prime childhood-bearing years. But I do add, this may and does change for many with age. The culture of the sensitive man, the emotional man, the compassionate man, is at odds with what women are biologically predisposed to desire. Young women, if they tell you the truth, are drawn to the scoundrel, not the impeccable gentleman with the perfectly manicured fingernails.
Afraid?
You're trembling.
I'm not trembling.
Because I'm a scoundrel. There aren't enough scoundrels in your life.
I happen to like nice men.
Nice men.
Very nice.
It's so much a part of women's psyche to want the scoundrel. that it's wrapped up in their very DNA. Just to get this out of the way, because I have a feeling it might show up in the comments, yes, I am aware that the vast majority of women, when raped, reach sexual climax or orgasm. However, from all the science that's been done, this is just basically a hardwired response. That if it does have an effect on women and their judgment, it must do so at a very subconscious or primal level. I also know that the number one sexual fantasy disclosed by women over and over again is rape fantasy, forced sex fantasy. But fantasy and reality are two different things. So I'm not really going to count this as a reason why women are so prone to consciously betray their in-group. The half-century-long experiment of women's liberation and political enfranchisement has ended in disaster for the West. When you begin to start connecting the dots, you realize that since women have been given the vote, the entire center of politics and thus Western society has shifted ever more to the left. Women have also used their political enfranchisement to further the cause of the aptly named women's liberation. Liberation socially, liberation financially, liberation from family, from motherhood, liberation from religious dogma, and most importantly, sexual liberation. Once women were given equal say in the sphere of politics, it was only a matter of time until our civilization was swept up by the event horizon of its own collapse. All kinds of studies have been done on this subject, as this one from Columbia University, and they all, without exception, note that as women become more, quote-unquote, emancipated, the decline of the family is further accelerated. And as the family disintegrates and women move politically further and further to the left in their voting, many then begin to use the government as a surrogate husband and provider. Women are thus even more liberated from their traditional roles within the family and society at large. In one of the most comprehensive studies of civilizational decline, J.D. Unwin postulates in his book, Sex and Culture, written in 1934, that the main driver for the rise of a civilization is the degree of chastity of the said civilization's women. Unwin, a British social anthropologist at Oxford and Cambridge universities, studied 86 different cultures through 5,000 years of history and found a positive correlation between the cultural achievement of a people and the sexual restraint they observed. Unwin's impetus for the project was to test the Freudian theory that civilizational progress was the product of repressed sexuality. He found that discipline in sexual matters appropriated social energy to more civilizational ends. It's very complicated, but for Unwin, the fabric of society was primarily sexual, and heterosexual monogamy was the optimal arrangement for the planning, building, protecting, and nurturing of the family. If enough heterosexual partners made a monogamous commitment, civilizational energy was directed toward promoting the finest societal foundation possible. Without exception, each civilization he studied allowed its success to alter its moral code. According to Unwin, after a nation becomes increasingly liberal with regards to its sexual morality, it loses its cohesion, its impetus, and its purpose. From a chaste moral code, societies gain what he called expansive energy, and this energy allowed these cultures to expand into other weaker cultures. Now, when you compare the modern Western world with the Islamic one, you see exactly the results that Unwin's theory would predict. By allowing women to fuck freely, the West has de facto entered a matriarchy that disincentivizes young men. Islam, on the other hand, keeps their women chaste, and their expansive energy, as Unwin's theory predicts, is manifested in what we're observing today. The Islamic culture is the one who's expanding into the West, and it was only recently that the West was able to dominate all other cultures on the planet. Ultimately, each civilization became less cohesive, less aggressive, and less resolute. Civilizations in this liminal phase then collapsed from either A, an internal anarchic revolution, or B, conquest by invaders with greater social energy. Terrifyingly, Unwin also noted that there was no case in any of the studies he'd made in which a culture managed to restrict the sexual freedom of women once they'd been loosened. A feminist society and future is an oxymoron, as it's unsustainable in the long run. Based just on past history, a civilization that embraces feminist values will cease to exist in a very short time. This is why we've never seen a feminist civilization aside from very short spans at the end of great empires. The signs of decline are already observable. While many countries are sliding into social decline, the canary in the coal mine is the self-described humanitarian superpower that pursues a feminist foreign policy. When looking at Sweden, it's one of the most gender-equal countries on Earth. And while they've become the rape capital of Europe, they're flushing their culture and country down the toilet and pressing forward in their civilizational suicide at an ever-accelerating pace. The total and complete feminization of Sweden and its men have allowed their women to invite their country's own destruction through the importation of millions of unassimilatable and aggressive people from completely alien cultures. Not only are they borrowing money to fund the colonization of their country, but they are now even creating gender imbalances that will have severe and lasting repercussions on their society's future. And they await their doom with smiles of tolerance and passivity, calm as Hindu cows. Looking again at Unwin's work, he leaves us with a stark dilemma. It may not be possible to save the West. According to his model, this process is irreversible, and the only way to do so would be to restrict the sexual freedom of Western women and move back to a more patriarchal society. And as things stand, this is probably an impossibility. So, instead of having it all, Western women risk losing everything. What are liberal feminists going to do when faced with aggressive gangs of migrants bent on theft and sexual violence? Burn their bras and throw a pocket edition of Cunt, a Declaration of Independence at them? The violence now being directed toward Western women in their own countries is undeniable proof of the breakdown of the leftist utopian ideals for society. The million migrants that have already arrived and the millions on their way already understand that the West is a toothless civilization ripe for plunder. While Western women might be the ones advocating, whether knowingly or not, for the destruction of the West via misplaced compassion and hyper-emotionalism, it's also the fault of Western men by giving them the choice and allowing their gender's particular predilections to dictate what our civilization's values, priorities, and ultimately what our future should and will be. And maybe Unwin is right. Maybe there is no peaceful way to resolve this crisis of our civilization. Our feminized society hasn't built an equality rainbow that'll usher the West into a nirvana of peace and security based on mutual respect and tolerance. No, it has succeeded in paving the way for the takeover and Islamization of the West. Ironically, it'll be feminine tendencies and policies that rule our society, if not kept in check, that will bring down the more gender-inclusive states of the West and replace them with the tribalism of Africa and the Middle East and the hyper-masculinity of Islam. You can have a feminized society, but it won't survive Islam. And here's the crimson red pill of this video. Western men have given Western women freedom of will and choice in their own society. And Western women are now choosing who will take it away from them. If this kind of material resonates with you, please click like. And even better, if you'd like to see more of this kind of material, please click the subscribe button.